Welcome to Life in Debt, your practical debt education program. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, an award-winning, listener-supported, open-source grassroots community radio station broadcasting from the Cultural District in Fairfield. Please note that these presentations are provided as a public service for general information purposes only and are not intended to be legal opinions, legal advice, or complete discussions of any legal issues. Remember, every individual's factual situation is different, and you should seek independent legal advice from an attorney familiar with the laws of your state or locality regarding specific information. The name of this show is Life and Debt, and it is a weekly half-hour educational show looking at all types of issues related to debt as it influences your life. This show provides practical, general knowledge about what to look for regarding debt, what are its traps and pitfalls, and what to do to be an educated debtor. Please get some notebook, paper, and pen so you can take notes during the show. First, we look at some debt-related news and facts for the week. From a posting in foreclosurebuzz.org, there's an article about prominent foreclosure prevention guides hide, deceive, and scare borrowers about bankruptcy. The article starts out with a quote from a Fannie Mae representative at a Texas Foreclosure Prevention Task Force meeting in September. He said, "We don't want to mention bankruptcy in a foreclosure prevention guide because it is so detrimental to borrowers." In the posting, a legal aid attorney, Roger Dodgett, responds to this kind of mentality. He says, "Isn't bankruptcy one of the very few real tools borrowers have to prevent a foreclosure and force a lender to accept a payment plan for the arrearages?" The answer is yes. Lenders dislike when borrowers file for bankruptcy because it transforms borrowers from beggars hoping to work out a deal to debtors with rights, and it provides the supervision of a judge who is ready to enforce those rights. But it turns out that the comment made in the state task force meeting, just quoted, is the tip of the iceberg. Lenders are perfectly willing to do anything it takes to prevent borrowers from knowing their rights, including deceiving the public, while many others are at least knowing accomplices. The writer continues, "Omitting the bankruptcy option from any conversation on borrowers' rights is not just an oversight. It is intentional and it is wrong." The writer goes on then to list a number of guides that do not mention bankruptcy even as an option for borrowers. These guides are all supposed to be major resources for the public. Some that are listed by the writer are HUD, NeighborWorks, the FDIC, Home Ownership Preservation Foundation, Hope Now Alliance, the Federal Reserve System, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Foreclosure Prevention Resource Center, and the National Black Church Initiative. A few details about some of these guides. For example, the Home Ownership Preservation Foundation runs the HOPE hotline, but it is close to, if not actually, a lender front. The HOPE Now Alliance is an alliance of lenders for the most part. The Federal Reserve System, which is the central bank of the United States, is very friendly with banks, as we noted from the recent activities in the government and the economy. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are government-sponsored enterprises, were currently bailed out and run by the U.S. government. The Foreclosure Prevention Resource Center is actually powered by Mortgage Bankers Association, and the National Black Church Initiative has made the mistake of being a partner with Fannie Mae and Mortgage Bankers Association. So we see that their guides do not mention bankruptcy at all. The writer, looking at the guides from many states, also saw that they failed to mention bankruptcy, such as Pennsylvania, Ohio, Nevada, Washington State, Georgia, Virginia, and the New York City Comptroller Guide. On the other hand, California references a guide that mentions bankruptcy without slamming it, although it certainly does not explore it in any detail, but at least it does not hide it. And at the other extreme, the best guide that was found describing bankruptcy appropriately is one by Arizona. Some of these guides in various states mention bankruptcy negatively. For example, the Nevada Department of Business and Industry says that there is a severe effect of bankruptcy on your credit score, but does not mention the foreclosure effect on the credit record. The State of New York Banking Department says that bankruptcy filing will temporarily halt the foreclosure process and may force the mortgage lender to accept more borrower-friendly repayment plan. But it goes on and says that a bankruptcy should only be considered as an absolute last resort, as the bankruptcy will remain on your credit report for 10 years. In fact, this is a huge misstatement because a bankruptcy can permanently halt the foreclosure rather than temporarily. The Federal Trade Commission Facts for Consumers, just published in August of 2009, said that personal bankruptcy generally is considered the debt management option of last resort because the results are long-lasting and far-reaching. The commission points out as fact that getting credit, buying another home, getting life insurance, or even getting a job are obstructed by filing bankruptcy. This is particularly interesting because there have been many articles and statistics which actually contradict these statements. For example, some studies show that getting credit improves, buying another home is not largely prevented, and only certain kinds of jobs would ever be affected by the filing. So contrary to what the FTC is saying, filing bankruptcy does not ruin your life. The article then continues by looking at the U.S. Comptroller of the Currency, Consumer Tips for Avoiding Mortgage Modification Scams and Foreclosure Rescue Scams, which says that bankruptcy is rarely, if ever, a permanent solution to prevent foreclosure. From my personal experience and from the experience of bankruptcy attorneys around the country, this is an untrue statement. So the story goes on in all of these guides. Yet the point that is very clear is that lenders are controlling the conversation at all levels. We see that the message of these guides are amazingly consistent across all levels, whether they're local, state, and federal governments, GSEs, local task forces, and even nonprofits allegedly concerned about borrowers. With few exceptions, these guides omit, mislead, or attempt to frighten everyone from filing a bankruptcy, and they certainly do not provide much, if anything, about a borrower's rights. There is rarely, if ever, a mention that an attorney or legal aid organization should be consulted. Rather, the guides typically encourage borrowers to seek a counselor. Counselors are often trained by organizations like NeighborWorks, which was given millions in federal money to funnel to counseling agencies of its choosing. The lending industry has consented to funding NeighborWorks primarily because the advice borrowers will get is consistent with their message and their agenda. It is entirely consistent that a NeighborWorks representative suggests that their counselors be paid by the lenders directly. After all, the counselors are doing the lenders' work. And even though the counselors are doing the lenders' work, the lenders don't have to pay them. The government does. The lenders would rather keep the bailout money for raises, not counseling, when they already have secured the message of the counseling. Of course, bankruptcy is not appropriate in every case, but it could be especially helpful when a lender will not agree to a reasonable payment plan. Having it as a possible tool for borrowers encourages lenders to make reasonable plans with other borrowers. And of course, bankruptcy will affect a credit report, but so will a foreclosure. And while there are various requirements needed to file and complete a bankruptcy, such as pre-filing counseling, there are now many rules and procedures that must be followed under HAMP, which is the government's loan modification program as well. So we see that bankruptcy really is an option, But if the lenders can keep this option out of hundreds of guides and websites at all levels, we can imagine what else they have influenced. Rather than providing borrowers with unbiased, complete advice, the options given to borrowers in the most prominent guides and articles, the writer more accurately describes as 1, pay up soon, sell everything you have, pay the lender before you pay anything else, presumably even before food or medicine, and tell the lender everything they want to know about you and your situation. 2, beg the lender to lower the payments, and a counselor can help you with that, but the lender might cut you a small break only if you're lucky. 3, if all else fails, just get out of the house and feel lucky that you stayed as long as you did. And 4, don't get help from anyone except a counselor that we approve of, as of course everyone else is a scam artist. So the financial industry actually has a huge impact on what is being disseminated. And the writer of the article concludes that the financial industry will eventually be discovered as no better than big tobacco. And if tobacco industry can fall, so can these folks eventually. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. So it's important to reflect on what I was just saying in this article, that in essence, the fundamental point is that big American business has a huge impact on everything that gets disseminated to the public, and particularly the masses of the American people who need guidance and advice and often look to not only big names but states and the federal government to gather information, facts, and guiding principles to help them understand and act upon issues greatly affecting their lives. But because the money and power of big business is unfortunately usually driving and sculpting much of what happens in the picture that we get, important facts can be hidden, we can be deceived and scared, and thrust into a specific kind of conclusion that is actually driven by big business agenda and goals, the profit goal. So we pick up a guide from a government source and we say to ourselves, oh, this should have some good information in it about foreclosure prevention, as we just discussed. But with a careful analysis, we see it is skewed to prevent people from making reasonable choices and seeing all the options, because big business has cloaked the bankruptcy option in what is disseminated. Michael Moore is actually addressing this entire concept in his new movie called Capitalism, A Love Story, which will be opening nationwide. An essential point that he brings out is that big business is deliberately shafting the little guy, and it's been doing it for decades. These powerful companies are in the position to make decisions which are essentially bad decisions, particularly for the country. And it all comes back to one issue, following the money. In short, who's got the money? Whoever has the money has the power. And right now in America, the richest 1% have more financial wealth than the bottom 95% combined, which means they also have the power. Recently, in an interview with Larry King, Michael points out that capitalism is a failure. He said that in the last year, capitalism has proven it's a failure. All the basic tenets of what we've talked about, the free market, about free enterprise and competition, just completely fell apart. As soon as they lost, essentially, our money, they, meaning the big businesses, came running to the federal government for a bailout, for welfare, for socialism. And I thought the basic principle of capitalism was that it's a sink or swim situation. And those who do well, the cream rises to the top. And you know, those who invest their money wrongly or don't run their businesses the right way, then they don't do well. And Michael Moore continues saying, if you run your business the wrong way, where does it say that you or I or anybody watching this has to bail them out? I understand why everybody seemed to get behind it, because a lot of people were afraid, because these people down on Wall Street had taken our money and made bets with it. I mean, they essentially created this invisible virtual casino with people's money, people's pension funds, people's 401ks. They took this money and they made bets. And then they made bets on the bets. And then they took out insurance policies on the bets. And then they took out insurance against the insurance, the credit default swaps. He stated to Larry King that the system is really corrupt at its core. Corrupt because it isn't run with democratic, small d, democratic principles. There's no democracy in our economy. You and I and the people watching have no say in how this economy is run. The upper 1%, the people down on Wall Street, the corporate executives, they're the people that control this economy. What Michael Moore points out is that investors these days want short-term quick profit. They want it right now. And that really is the guiding principle. So, in essence, we have to come to grips with the reality that, in fact, big business, governed by the profit motive, has a huge influence on everything to do with money in our daily lives. As a bankruptcy attorney, I saw this happen based on the new bankruptcy law, which came out, not so new anymore, in 2005. There was a huge amount of lobbying over the 7 years prior to the enactment of that law by big businesses, particularly credit card banks, spending anywhere from $70 to $90 million, the figures run, for lobbyists to get the bill passed. And even more absurdly, much of that money and lobbying influenced the actual wording of the bill, to the point where much of the bill was actually written by the private sector and presented to Congress to essentially pass, which, of course, they did. Now, the new bankruptcy law did not turn out to do what the credit card companies initially intended it to do, that is, to prevent bankruptcy for a lot of people. But what it did was add a lot more hardship and cost on those who were in the need of bankruptcy anyway. In short, the system is governed by a powerful hand in the private sector, motivated by the profit motive against people who are turning to the government laws and regulations to protect them. It's a very fascinating study when you look at it closely and recognize how much is out of the control of the masses of common people. But like the David and Goliath story, we still keep plodding on, and that's a very good thing. Pendulums swing back and forth, and for some while it has been swinging against the common people. And yet we can see that there are major shifts in the way the people are thinking and the way the pendulum is swinging, which we saw as mostly favoring big business and the ultra rich. So keep your chins up, keep saying what you feel is right and what you need to live and sustain your good life amongst and considering everyone else in your society, and things will get better. If you're just tuning in, this is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and this program is Life and Debt, your practical debt education program. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. Of late, I have been talking specifically about bankruptcy, and I highly credit Professor Elizabeth Warren from Harvard and her daughter Amelia Warren Tyagi, who are two of America's champions for debtors, as the thoughts, ideas, and examples used in these programs are often directly from or based on the work, theories, and books of these two scholars, and I highly recommend their books, All Your Worth and The Two Income Trap. Furthermore, you can always go to the archives at www.kruufm.com under Life and Debt and review all of the shows that have been produced to inform and educate you about managing and overcoming debt problems. Last week, in talking about bankruptcy, one of the issues that came up was people getting credit after bankruptcy and wondering whether people who file for bankruptcy ever get credit again. The truth is, historically, that within 6 months, after filing bankruptcy, statistically 84% of people had already received unsolicited offers for new credit. Many people receive more than 30 offers. If you file for bankruptcy, you discover that you are more popular with credit card companies than ever before. One of the reasons is that banks know that you cannot declare bankruptcy again for 8 years, and they also believe that there is a good chance that you could still be so strapped for cash that you will end up carrying a balance and making minimum monthly payments quickly, rocketing you to number one on their list of favorite customers. So what is the important response to this? Stay away from credit card companies and all the other debt peddlers. It's really important, whether you file for bankruptcy before or have never filed, or are young and just starting on your path of building your future financially, that you stay away from credit cards. I can never say this enough or reinforce it enough. These are a trap for almost all Americans. Just think, sending yourself or one of your kids to college, and as a freshman with no credit history, a credit card company gives that person a $5,000 credit limit credit card. Doesn't make any financial sense outside the loop, but it seems extraordinarily attractive to a young person. And by the time they're finished with their college education, they have a lot of debt just for credit cards, not to mention the enormous student loan with high interest rates from private lenders now. I repeat, if you can live life on cash, do it. Go back to the archives and listen to the shows about setting your finances up in a way to do that, so you're not pulled into this unbelievably heinous trap, which forces now about 1.4 million families each year to file bankruptcy, and a lot of others who resist filing bankruptcy, into a stressful and highly unpleasant circumstance dealing with their debt. Just as an aside, statistically, 1 out of 7 people who could qualify for bankruptcy actually go ahead and file. Which leads to another point that I discussed last week, is why people go bankrupt. In some ways, does it matter why you go bankrupt? Well, not to the court, usually, at least, the bankruptcy court, that is, unless you defrauded people out of money or stole or embezzled money. But simply, if you promised to try to pay and just didn't come through, the bankruptcy courts don't really care what went wrong. Perhaps you got sick, maybe you had a gambling problem, maybe you had some entrepreneurial failure, or maybe you just made some really stupid decisions. Some people may feel some sympathy for you, like bankruptcy attorneys, or some may think you are a lowlife or a deadbeat. But the truth of the matter is that bankruptcy laws don't distinguish whether you have a good reason or a dumb reason for getting into trouble. Bankruptcy is about getting a capsized boat back upright and letting it sail on without worrying about why the boat turned over in the first place. With all that said, you might be surprised by how many bankrupt families tell roughly the same story. Nearly 90% of people who file for bankruptcy cite just 3 reasons for going broke. 1 is job loss, 2 is a serious illness, or 3 is a divorce. So all the other reasons combined, natural disaster, victims of crime, gambling problems, drug addictions, identity theft, shopaholism, being called up for the National Guard, or plain old bad judgment, account for about 10% of the bankruptcies. So as Professor Warren concludes, the overwhelming majority of people are using the bankruptcy courts exactly as the Founding Fathers intended, as a second chance after something bad happens. Another question often gets raised, and that is it honorable? People wonder, is it right to file for bankruptcy? Is it honorable? After all, these companies lent you money, you made a promise, so aren't you obligated to pay what you owe? The simple response is, of course you are, and you should do your very best to pay all your debts. But you are also obligated to keep a roof over your head, to put food in your mouth, and to get medical care whenever you need it. So when push comes to shove, you must take care of yourself and your family first. The big banks have proven that they can take care of themselves. Consider this. 20 years ago, General Motors made a profit of $4 billion. And yet, in that year, they laid off 30,000 people. Now, why would you lay people off when you're making a record profit of $4 billion? Someone like Michael Moore concluded that they thought, well, you know, we make a bigger profit. Maybe we can make $4.2 billion if we move these jobs to Mexico. So that, unfortunately, is the profit motive of the big businesses, and the same with specifically the big banks taking care of themselves. Another important consideration is that if you find yourself needing bankruptcy, reflect on the fact that most of those lenders knew you would have a tough time paying them back. They had your credit reports, they knew how much money you earned, and they generally knew how much money you owed. They took a calculated risk. The way the entire system is set up, it's really not so different from auto insurance. If your car was stolen, would you hesitate to ask your insurance company for a check? Of course not. You didn't plan on getting your car stolen. Likewise, you didn't plan to lose your job or to come down with foot and mouth disease. If things had gone according to plan, you would have paid your debts and the bank would have made an even bigger profit. Whenever a bank makes a loan, it hopes to make money. But lenders know that there is some chance that the money will never be repaid. The interest charges and penalty fees are designed to cover those risks. A glaring real example is borrowing $2,200 from your credit card, over time paying back $2,000, and getting a statement that says you still owe more than $2,600 for borrowing the original $2,200 and, of course, paying back $2,000. So if you were to put this into a bankruptcy, this kind of person almost paid her way clear of that original principal debt and yet is still being forced to place the $2,600 in bankruptcy based on a claim against the debtor. Historically, while record numbers of people file for bankruptcy, at the same time, lenders are reporting record profits off of their interest and high fees. You may still not be convinced of the morality of bankruptcy, but consider this, that businesses file for bankruptcy all the time. Indeed, sophisticated business people chat about bankruptcy as financial reorganization and a litigation strategy. So in other words, they look at bankruptcy as just another tool for smart business management. Do you imagine the CEO of United Airlines or the president of Kmart were racked with guilt when they took their companies to the bankruptcy courts? Frankly, I doubt it. They did what they thought best for their shareholders and their customers. If that meant that some creditors ended up with the short end of the stick, then so be it. They saw it as simply a smart business decision. And so when your survival is on the line, so should you. And finally, consider this. You made promises, but so did the bank. The bank promised to lend you the money, but it didn't promise to give you the best possible price. It did not promise to go easy on you if you got in trouble, and it did not promise that its collection agents would be honest and polite. And it certainly did not promise that it was going to keep the contract the same and never unilaterally change the vital terms of that contract, which unfortunately the law allows them to do. So the bank promised nothing more than to lend you the money and to maximize its profits within the four corners of the law. You made the same promise, to pay it back, if you could, within the four corners of the law. Bankruptcy is there to help if your debts get overwhelming. Don't take it lightly, but don't avoid it if you need the help. This is bankruptcy attorney Robert Liptak, and you have been listening to Life and Debt, your debt education program. If you have any questions or comments, call the station at 641-209-1083, or you can email me at lifeanddebt@gmail.com. I'm speaking from Crew LP 100.1 FM, the voice of Fairfield, Iowa, and beyond. May you enjoy and have a healthy and prosperous, debt-manageable life.
Oh.